Now, listen, hurry up and sit down. Okay? And preach with me. Will you do that? And same with you all. Thank you so much. We had a meeting this afternoon, our pastors, as we do on Wednesday, and something really happened today, not that it doesn't always. Pastor Tim was going to be here. Something came up preacher-wise, or he would have been. And the Lord spoke to us in a powerful way. And it just happened to be in line with what I was going to preach tonight. Isn't that a coincidence? When I told him my notes, we just laughed a little bit. In the church world in America today, I'm seeing something, and I'm going to get this out of the way so we can get to the good part of this, but I'm seeing something that I'm taken back by just a little bit. Because what I'm seeing is that we're dancing around the issues and we're dancing around the answers in the church world today. We're dancing around the issues. We don't want to stick our foot in that pool. And we're dancing around the answers because we don't want to seem offensive to anyone. There's really only one issue, and that's God is Almighty. And that's the title of my message tonight, the Almighty God. There's only one answer, and that answer is Jesus Christ. His blood washed us. We just read that, sang that. Redeemed us and set us free. Isn't that funny how my notes correlate with our song? The Holy Spirit's influence in our life is the most essential relationship outside of your salvation you'll ever have. Don't let anyone tell you that the Holy Spirit is an it or a that. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all one. If we can't comprehend that, thank goodness, the day we figure God out, but we're not going to figure His greatness out, His almighty power. When we look at the power of God and the almighty glory of God, we find out that God isn't on our side. We're on His side. He's not going to look at us like the good guys and the rest of them the bad guys. He's God over everything. In Hebrews, the title Almighty God, just listen to this for a moment, is El Shaddai. You've heard that term many, many times. But it simply means God, the all-powerful one, the mighty one of Jacob. It's also referred to in El Shaddai in Genesis chapter 49 and Psalms 132. The title speaks of God's ultimate power over all. He has all might and power. And we're first introduced to the name of God in Genesis chapter 17. Verse 1, when God appeared to Abram and he said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. El Shaddai. He is Almighty. Genesis 49. The creator of the heaven and the earth in Genesis chapter 14. The builder of everything in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. The King of Heaven in Daniel chapter 4, 37. God of all mankind in Jeremiah 32, 27. The eternal God in Jeremiah 10, 10. He's the only God in Jude 1, 25. The eternal God in Genesis 21, 33. The everlasting God in Isaiah chapter 40, 28. The maker of all things in Ecclesiastes 11:5, he is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, he performs wonders that cannot be fathomed and miracles that cannot be counted. In Job chapter 9, verse 10, God's power is ultimate, unlimited. He can do anything he wants to. Psalms 115:3. He spoke the universe into existence in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Furthermore, he answers to no one and doesn't have to explain his purpose to anybody. He's God and God alone. And the great footnote I wrote at the bottom of my notes, and he, the Almighty, is my God and I'm his child. Can you say that? When we look at the glory of God and the presence of God, when Pastor Tim Snyder came to the meeting today, a man that doesn't have emotions, but really has a lot, sat down and he said, "Something happened to me this morning. I don't know one stick of Hebrew." He said, "I don't know a thing about it." So he looks to me and he says, "What does this mean?" "This morning God spoke to me, and God said to him, 'Come into my Mishkan.'" I said, "Say it again." He said, "God said, 'Come,' an invitation to come to his, take his Mishkan." And I said, "Do you know what that means?" He said, "No, I'm asking you. I have no idea." I said, "There's Mishkan David. There's Mishkan Moshe. I've studied them. And what it means is the temple of David and the temple of Moses. But this is a whole different concept. This is the Almighty El Shaddai saying to you, 'Come to my house. Come into my presence. Come to my tabernacle.' An invitation of power and glory unprecedented, not tarnished or touched by man, not tarnished or touched by the doctrines of religion or the twisted theology of the wrongdoers that are supposed to be proclaiming the word of God, but a pure power and a pure presence. He's saying, 'Come into my presence,' an invitation. And when I began to explain to him what Mishkan means and how it meant, I said, 'Let me further it.' So I called Rabbi Jeremy up on the phone, this Holy Ghost-filled rabbi. And I said, 'Tell him, explain, am I right? Tell him what I said.' Rabbi Jeremy said, 'That's the same thing, brother. You were getting an invitation from an almighty God to come into his presence, a place you've never been before.' And Pastor Tim looked at us and he said, 'Brothers, listen to me. God the Holy Ghost is leading our churches into a place we've never been before. He's leading us into a pure presence. He's leading us into a place that's not touched or tarnished by human hands or ideas.'" You must read and study Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, in the NIV, verse 1, Lonnie will catch up with me as I read. "Now the first covenant," this is what we call the Old Testament. Jews call it the first covenant. Messianic Jews call the New Testament the new second covenant. "Now in the first covenant," in Hebrews, this is written by the writers, several writers of the book of Hebrews, not just Paul, several wrote this book. "Now in the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary, a tabernacle." Mishkan means tabernacle, our dwelling place, our tent. God said to him, "Come into my dwelling place." "A tabernacle was set up in its first room where the lampstands, the table, and the consecrated bread. This was called the holy place, This bread was called shewbread. It was a sacred bread that the priest made in sacrifice. After the end of the week, when Shabbat came along, and the glory of God, and they begin to worship God from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. The priests were then given that bread for themselves. But for the first several days, it was set out as an offering, fresh bread every week. Showbread. Behind the second curtain was a room called the Most Holy Place. This is a tabernacle of man, now listen, ordained by God. Verse 4, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. The ark contained a jar, a golden jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant, or the Ten Commandments. Above the ark were the cherubims of the glory, overshadowing the atoning cover. But we cannot discuss these things now in detail. That was called the mercy seat. When everything had been arranged like this, the priest entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room. And that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people that had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit, now he's writing, this writer, was showing by this that the only way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. This is prior to Jesus coming. Verse 9 says, this was an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts of sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of worshipers. They are only a matter of food and drink, and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order, that's Jesus. When Christ came, verse 11, when Christ came as high priest, here's the text, listen. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, the Mishkan. Listen, that is not made by man, not man-made. That is to say, no part of this creation. Verse 12, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once. 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 One time. For all, by his blood, having obtained an eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean sanctified them so that they are outwardly clean. But how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience, our minds, look at this, from the acts that lead to death, so that we may serve a living God. And for this reason, Christ, as the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise, eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the covenant. I go back to verse 11, and when I see that, and I listen to what happened to Pastor Tim Snyder today, I read this powerful word. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect Mishnah. Listen to this. The greater and more perfect tabernacle. The greater and more perfect meeting place. The greater and more perfect place of the presence of God. More than the blood of goats and bulls and lambs. More than the ceremonies of the priest and the laws of Moses. More than anything man can do. And it is not man-made. That is to say, not part of creation. Here's what we found out today. This is what the Holy Spirit showed us. That when we want the presence of God, for my church, we've been praying wrong. And I'm going to correct that. I'm not one to nitpick the way you pray. I've had people do that and tell me how wrong you are and you shouldn't say this or that. But I do tell you that today when I was listening to what was going on, I said, you know what we've been doing? We've been inviting God into our presence. How many times have we said, Holy Spirit, come into this house. Come into this room. Come into my heart. And God's saying today, no, no, no. You come into my house. You come into my heart. You come into my room. And I'll show you something you've never known before. I'll show you a presence you've never felt before. I'll show you a truth you've never experienced before. I'll enlighten you to the Word of God and give you power you've never had before. And so if I make the grammatical error, forgive me in the future. But my plans are, from this point on, is not Holy Spirit come and be in our midst. It's going to be Holy Spirit, let us come in your presence and in your midst. And in the presence of the Mishkan of the Almighty Elohim. Let's come into the presence of God. My friends, there's something I'm going to tell you something. When you enter the presence of an Almighty God, you haven't got the struggles of habits anymore. He breaks those, and he breaks them greater than men. When you come into the presence of an Almighty God, you haven't got the just survival mentality any longer, or I hope I make it any longer. You stand in the presence of an Almighty God as a blood-bought child of God, and the confidence of all eternity is drenched on you and empowered you, and you don't go out just trying to make it. You go out with the authority to tell somebody that's like you, you don't have to be there anymore. You don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in anxiety. You don't have to live in doubt. You can live in the glorious power of the presence of El Shaddai in his Mishpah, in his presence, and change your life forever. My friends, I don't want man's anointing any longer. I don't want the best religion has anymore. I'm hungry for an acceptance to this invitation into the tabernacle, the presence, the healing virtue of an Almighty God that has given us an invitation. I heard it today. As he began to tell the story, we begin to weep and we begin to lift our hands and we begin to worship an Almighty God that he has invited us into. I don't have the junk that the tabernacles of men have anymore. I haven't got the furniture and the objects and the stuff that looks good but don't do any good. It doesn't do anything. It washes me, but it doesn't remove anything. It helps me psychologically until I get back out into the world and I'm just like I was. I need something that's so divine and so powerful and so different in my life that I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and I'm on my way to heaven and I'm not going to be stopped by hell or anything hell has, but I'm going forward and I'm the first one will tell you Jesus Christ will redeem you too. You see, the presence has a residue. There's a residue of his glory. There's a residue of the glory of God on your life. It's not the foolishness, and please forgive me, but it's not the foolishness of just having gold dust or an angel feather, as great as those things are. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing anyone, but I'm talking about a presence that's so powerful that my life has been completely redone and changed, not for a moment, but for every day of my life. You see, the presence of God will cause you not to come in to salvation and go, "Woo, I made it right close, right behind. There's the gate right behind me. Whoop, whew, that was close. I'm going to stay here till Jesus comes." That's how far I was from hell right there. I tell you what, the presence of God goes. Hell never had a chance with me. I'm not afraid of hell. I'm walking past that old me, and I'm going into somebody you didn't know before. I'm becoming someone that you didn't recognize before. You see, in the Word of God, when Jesus rose from the tomb on the third day, on that glorious morning, there was a person that came and worshiped him. It was a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene. Magdalene, it refers to a city where she was from. There were a whole bunch of Marys. So this is like Mary from Springfield, Mary from Branson. And she comes to the temple because she had entered the glory of the presence of Jesus. Well, he hadn't risen yet. He's still God. He never was not. And he came to a woman that had seven demons in her. She was demon possessed. It's arguable whether she was a prostitute. Many think she was. She became successful in business. She was doing great, but she had seven demons. And she realized that she now knew the presence of an almighty God. She always suspected he was. Boy, there's different when you come into his Mishnah. There's a difference when you come into his tabernacle. There's a difference when you come into the presence of the living Savior and the risen God. She fell at his feet and she preached, she worshiped him, Rabboni. Rabboni. God, Jesus. He said, "Mary, get up. Don't touch me right now. I haven't ascended to be at the Father." You see, he was showing us what we're going to be like. When we die, we're going to ascend to be at the Father, and we're going to take on an earth, we're going to take on a heavenly body. And he just walked out of this grave into newness of life, but he had that same presence and that same spirit. And he was inviting her, and he said, "Just hold on. I'm going to go up and sit down on the right hand of the Father and take on my body, my heavenly body. I want the angels to have the chance to dance and shout and play and blow their horns and triumph over what the devil tried to do. I want all of the glory of heaven to start and the hallelujah to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want them to say he was the Word and now we call him Jesus. He is God and beside him there is no other God. He is El Shaddai." And he said, "I'm going to come back down and meet you, the boys, in just a few days." And he said, "Go and tell the disciples, and by the way, tell Peter." Why? Because Peter failed him more than the rest of them. He denied him. He cussed him out. He tried to kill somebody. He was an utter failure. If you're a failure in your walk with Jesus Christ, I've got some news for you. You might be looking for him, but he knows where you are, and he's coming to where you are with glory and power. It was that man that preached the greatest messages in the Acts of Pentecost and all the great things, because he realized he was no longer chained by the laws and religiosity of humanity. He was walking in a place that only God could walk, and he said, "Come in to my tabernacle. Come in to my place of worship. Tim said, is that what it means? I said, it means a dwelling place. That's what it means. And I said, son, you've just been invited by the Almighty God into his dwelling place. And there's no place like that on all of existence. But he's opened it up to us. And I'm here today. That anointing fell on four other preachers. And I'm here tonight to tell you, I'm not emotional. This isn't sensationalism or fanaticism. I've just come from the presence of the Almighty God. And I know the difference between the temples of man and the temples of God. And I've come with a message. It's available to you. It's available to you. Come to the Mishnah of Elohim, of El Shaddai, of God, of Jesus. Come to his presence. Come to his presence. Come to his presence. Come to his presence. Get up and come to his presence. Come to his presence. He'll meet you here. Lift your hands to him. We don't want man stuff anymore. Emily, I want you to sing No Longer Bound. Get some of the praise team to help you. Lift your hands to him. Tell him, God, I don't want man stuff anymore. There's nothing there. It's temporary and it's a wash, but it's not everything I need. No longer, whatever it goes. Lift your hands to him and say, Lord, I want your presence. I want the presence of God, not the presence of man. Hurry, sing it. That chorus, No Longer Bound. Glory to God. I want Jesus. I want you in my life. I want to get free from the things of religion. And I want the presence of the Almighty God.
No longer bound in chains.
Worship.
No longer blind I see.
Listen.
This is amazing grace. Jesus alive in me. No longer bound in chains. No longer blind I see. This is amazing grace. Jesus alive in me. No longer bound in chains.
He'll free you.
No longer blind I see.
He'll free you tonight.
This is amazing.
saved and you know Jesus Christ, lift your hands and praise him right now. Give him glory. Now let me ask you this, lower your hands. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, it not only sounds good to me, I want this, but I haven't surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, and I want him to come into my heart, and I want to not just know in my mind, I want to know in my heart that I am set free by Jesus Christ, that I'm saved, and I'm not real sure. Let me tell you, just let me make you feel comfortable. You're standing around a whole bunch of people that had to make that decision, and we're for you, not against you. If you're watching online, we're for you, not against you. And if you're here tonight and you say, what I heard and what I can understand is that Jesus can free me from my past life and my sins and give me real freedom, but I don't have that. If you're here and you say, I don't have that, but I want that, I want you to raise your right arm, just one arm, and say, I need Jesus in my life. I want to find it because I want to get us all fixed. Okay, I see that. Okay, I want you to pray this out loud with me, everyone in here, everyone watching. Jesus, I come to you, a sinner. I need forgiveness. I can't get it anyplace except with you. But I confess my sins. And I repent of my sins. I want freedom. I want peace. I want forgiveness. Only you can do that. Come into my life. Live in my heart. Be my God. And I'll be your child. With your help and the help of the Holy Spirit, I will serve you all the days of my life. Make me free, Jesus. Save me. In Jesus' name, I pronounce you a child of God right now. I pronounce you a child of God. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you something happened so dramatically that in heaven there was a name that flashed in the glory of heaven. This isn't a joke. And your name flashed, and it came on the Lamb's Book of Life, and it said, this is my child. And it was your whole name, my friend. Your name was flashed in heaven tonight. And if you're watching online, your name was flashed in heaven. But I'm here to tell you, as your shepherd and your pastor, I'm going to lead you from this day forward, not into the president of men's anointings and powers. I'm going to lead you running as hard as I can into the presence of God himself and no other place. The purity and the holiness. Son, people will surround you. Pastor Benai, go right over there to that big boy that I already adopted right there and put your arm around him. We'll be your family and we'll be your friend, and Jesus will change your life like you've never seen. Listen to me. There's nothing greater on this earth to have your sins forgiven. This is not a game. It's not a gimmick. And people in the world try to make it something unless it is. It's the reality of life. You don't have to worry anymore. No more. No more. The peace of God is yours. Isn't God good? Oh, glory to God. Oh, you're going to go with me into the presence of God? You're going to go with me? We're going to go into the presence of God. He said to Pastor Timmy, spread it to the rest of us pastors. An invitation. Ask me for my mitzvah. I looked at him and I said, he's saying, come into my dwelling. And I saw tears on Pastor Tim's face. And then mine and the other pastors, we realized that God is giving the church a last day's invitation into the presence. Into the presence. There ain't no games there. There's no phony there. There's no whitewash. There's no temporary. This is a life with Jesus. Glory to God. Lift your hands and praise him right now. You see, in the presence of God, any need you have can be met and answered. Any request you make can be answered. So, Father God, we come to you right now. First, we're just thanking you for the presence. The fact that you are El Shaddai, that you are God the most powerful, the only, the powerful one. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, God. Nothing. You ask for nothing, and nothing can tell you anything. You are God alone. And we praise you and thank you that you're our God and we're your children. Why don't you just pray in the Spirit for a minute? God, I praise you right now and I thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I thank you. God, I praise you that you're real, you're authentic, you're actually real. I thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, breathe. Now that we're in your presence, just breathe. We're in your house. We're in your Mishkan now. We praise you, Lord. The Mishka of Elohim. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have no more to say. But I have a lot to put to practice. The Lord has invited you into his presence. We're not inviting him into ours. We're not set up for him. We're just not.